Those two girls.
Dylan Howard on the line. Dylan, I just want to set the scene for you so you know that you're on an even playing field with Lise and me. So you're a regional boy. You grew up in Geelong, Victoria. Lise and I are regional Queensland girls. We all did journalism at uni, so...
And look where we've ended up.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, you've hit some heady heights in your career, and obviously this is the top of the tree.
Hang on a minute. You're only as good as your last inning, so I think you guys are well and truly ahead of me.
I mean, look, nobody's called us the most feared journalists in Hollywood, but thank you. We'll take
but
that.
But you haven't been to Hollywood. Had you have been to Hollywood, maybe, just maybe, you might have got that title.
It's a matter of time.
Maybe you are the most feared journalist in Bundaberg.
We'll take it.
All right, Dylan, we're mainly calling you not to delve over our shared regional history, but because of your new book, Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Now, I'm no doctor, but from a biological perspective, I know that to be true. Now, you are well and truly known for your investigations into very, very high-profile people, and you have got some juice on the whole Jeffrey Epstein saga, of course, the American financier, convicted sex offender who died in his jail cell under an apparent suicide last year. Tell us what you can give us in your book.
Well, there is a... unbelievable scandal that is continually being overlooked by the media in the coverage of the Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell case. Now, just off the very bat, I'm going to say I might call her Ghislaine, I might call her Ghislaine. I don't know her name.
I like all. Can I interrupt quickly and say that my grandmother's name is Ghislaine and it's pronounced that way, but, you know, let's go with Ghislaine.
I was going to say, for the purpose of your grandmother, maybe we'll go with Ghislaine.
Yeah, let's change it completely. Thank you.
So in Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales, as conspiratorial as this may well sound, you have to understand who Jeffrey Epstein was. He was a complex, damaged and controlling individual who exploited and took the innocence of many young women as a result of his globe-trotting pedophile scheme. But he also used his power to cover his tracks with the innermost circles of society. He would trap the rich and famous, and he would trade that dirt with some of the world's most secretive intelligence agencies.
I mean, this is huge.
In short, Epstein was a spy, and he was running a classic honey trap operation for the purpose of blackmailing powerful individuals and politicians in the United States and abroad.
So who would have approached him to become a spy, to gather this intelligence? How would that have started?
So you have to understand Ghislaine Maxwell and his connection to her in order to understand how this all came about. Ghislaine Maxwell's father was Robert Maxwell, who died in mysterious circumstances off the back of a boat in the British Virgin Islands in the 1980s or 90s.
And he was a massive fraudster, wasn't he?
He was a massive fraudster, had bilked hundreds of millions of dollars of pension funds from the Mirror newspaper group. He also owned the New York Daily News. He was a known Israeli Mossad spy, and in Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales, I speak with his spy handler, a guy by the name of Ari Ben-Mashani, who now lives in Canada, who says that the business of spying, if you like, was turned over to Epstein and Maxwell in a face-to-face meeting in the late 1980s, and from that moment on, Epstein and Maxwell ran this sex trafficking ring.
So that was that's the solution they came up with in order to get the dirt they needed from very powerful people, a sex ring.
So it's not an overly complicated way of getting compromising information on individuals. It's a tactic that's been used for five decades from intelligence organisations all around the world, including the CIA here in the United States. What they would do, according to sources that I spoke to, is that there would be a gathering of a group of people. They would invite rich and powerful men, and there would be above-age women. And then they would seed that group with underage women. And those women were told, target person X. Person X would end up in bed with the underage woman. And it was all being recorded. Now, I'm one of the few people or few journalists that have seen inside Jeffrey Epstein's Manhattan mansion, which is the most expensive mansion in the city. In fact, it takes up an entire block. When I say I've been inside, let me just clarify, I've only seen photos inside. But what I saw is cameras in every single room. And then there is a central room with all these screens where everything's fed back into, and Xerox, industrial-sized Xerox machines that were printing off these photographs and recording these videos for the purposes of then giving it to an overseas country who would then go back to the powerful person and say, hey, we've got this on you. We need to convert you into a source. You need to start telling us information.
But Dylan, why isn't this... why hasn't this come out? I mean, I watched the Netflix documentary, you know, and that's
a very good question.
How has this gone
unreported?
Under the radar?
So there has been some reportage of this. It hasn't necessarily been at the forefront of it, and I have a number of theories about that. In America, we're facing an election and we're in the middle of a very bad pandemic. So people are not necessarily focused on this. And also, the media these days is so split down ideological lines that this really doesn't benefit anyone as a story. Now, there are obvious issues that would raise their head if this story is to get, as it should, mainstream attention. And that is, who knew what they knew, when they knew, and why they allowed Maxwell and Epstein to operate with impunity on American soil. Because the reality is, the US government did know about this. And it's not whether you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. Their operation spanned three decades, so both political sides are implicated. And that's why Trump's Labor Secretary, who had to resign as a result of the plea deal that he struck with Epstein in 2007, publicly said, quote-unquote, I was told back off, this is above your pay grade.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that kind of came out when I was watching and reading about it, was these allegations and first investigations were happening. What was it, around 2005?
And that's right.
And I just assumed it was because he had money and was a man in power that people kept bailing him out. But you're saying that there are much more governmental kind of systems in play,
okay,
right?
Let me try and work this out. So... Jeffrey and Ghislaine are spies. They use his mansion to lure the rich and powerful and influential there. They take incriminating footage or photographs. They then the spy agency or what have you use that those images to blackmail these famous people. Don't they then realize, hold on, this happened at Jeffrey's house? Why are they all still friends?
Well, they're not necessarily friends. Bill Clinton, the former president,
yes,
has sought to minimize his involvement with Epstein. He says he only traveled on a handful of occasions on his so-called Lolita Express, his private jet.
I mean, weren't there like 64 occasions or something like that? That's more than a handful.
Yeah. 28, I'm juggling 28 okay. times at this point. Mm. Now, there have been explicit claims that he was involved in underage sex. I've not heard any corroborating evidence to suggest that.
Okay.
But think about it. At the time that Bill Clinton was hanging around with Jeffrey Epstein, his wife was just elected to the Senate. She was serving on various committees. And he was hanging around not because of the local basketball scores or who won or lost at Madison Square Garden to talk to Bill Clinton about. He was talking about geopolitical matters. And he would feed that information back to the intelligence organizations for which he was working.
Oh, how do you find this stuff out? How?
I mean, this is just mind-boggling.
So, okay. Right. So we get our heads around that. Epstein's dead. Now it all rests with Ghislaine. What is going to happen with Ghislaine?
So she has three distinct choices at the moment. And make no mistake, the feds right now, at this very moment, are putting the squeeze on her. They have built up an unimpeachable case against her through dozens of witnesses that place Ghislaine firmly up the proverbial creek without a paddle. So the organization that brought these charges is the Southern District of New York, which is an offshoot of the Department of Justice. They don't prosecute cases unless they know that they're going to win. So the case against her is watertight. Okay. She's charged with six counts. Two of those are perjury. Others are that she groomed three unnamed girls under the age of 18 in London, New York and Florida and New Mexico between 1994 and 1997. So the options that she has are as follows. She has denied wrongdoing, so she could choose to defend this at court. But be careful what you wish for. If she decides to take this to trial, then she's likely going to face the maximum. She's going to get sentenced to 35 years in jail. And the government probably doesn't want it to go to court either because it will unmask this espionage ring. The government would want her to accept a plea bargain. I suggest they probably would like her to agree to the four serious charges and the two perjury charges would be dropped. Nevertheless, they will still get a confession, she'll get a concession, and she'll still serve 15 to 20 years in jail. Now, the third option is one that's far more tantalising, and that would be that she turns whistleblower and lays out exactly how the Epstein-Maxwell sex trafficking network operated. But to do that, she would have to name names and turn on friends and frenemies alike. I'm told through sources close to her, that she's loath to do this. But she's unlikely to have a choice. If you tell on one, you must tell on others. And the Department of Justice won't let her cherry pick who she throws under the bus or protects. So there are a lot of nervous people right now.
And where does this leave her in terms of her safety? Because obviously...
There's a big fat question mark over what happened to Epstein in his jail cell.
What happened to Jeffrey, and is this likely to be Ghislaine's fate as well?
I would hope not, and I would hope that the corrections department that has been rightfully criticised for allowing Jeffrey Epstein to die of an apparent suicide... The fact of the matter is she ought to be, if she is not, the most watched prisoner in the United States. We know that she is on suicide watch, and being on suicide watch necessitates that you're not given clothing, so she's wearing paper as clothing. It's, you know, one of those situations where there has to be eyes on her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because not only might she consider committing suicide, there might be people that want her to die. And people inside prisons are easily gotten to. Dare I mention the case of serial killer and mobster Whitey Bulger, who died a couple of years ago in a federal prison because he was attacked by another inmate on orders from someone to kill him.
Mm.
So it's obviously a precarious position for the US government because they know they've got a potentially huge story that could come out in the course of a trial. They might not want to dive headlong down the Epstein rabbit hole because it might take them to a more sinister place. But they have to protect Ghislaine Maxwell and afford her the right to a trial if she so desires.
Wow, there's book number two for you right there, isn't it?
Well, as a matter of fact, let me tell you, we have a new book coming out in late September, early October. It's called Epstein and Maxwell, Inc., How the US Government Used Blackmail as Big Business. I want to throw one thing at you. Now, when Ghislaine Maxwell appeared in court, it was revealed by the prosecutor that she was married. We don't know who she's married to. There are no records of this secret union, no date, nothing. And I have no evidence of this, but I'm going to pose a big what if. A big what if. What if Ghislaine's secret husband is none other than Jeffrey Epstein himself, and the pair wed before his suicide? Now, as conspiratorial as that might sound, guess what? That would be the ultimate and unforeseen get-out-of-free-jail card
for
Ghislaine.
How so? Why does that protect her if she's his wife?
Because spousal privilege exists between a husband and a wife, and remarkably, under United States law, it's not terminated by death. So,
meaning she wouldn't have to reveal anything within that spousal privilege?
Correct. And the state or the feds could not introduce any evidence between husband and wife. So any emails, any handwritten notes, any phone correspondence, any phone logs, that would all be considered inadmissible in court because of spousal privilege.
It seems to be a massive flaw in the legal system.
Even if they were married prior or just prior to his incarceration or during his incarceration, wouldn't it be from the date of
their
the
marriage?
Union?
It would have to, she would have had to have married him in the 1990s.
Right.
And we know that they were a couple.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were a couple.
Well, I mean, okay.
Can I ask, am I allowed to ask a question about
Prince Andrew? Yeah.
You can ask whatever you like.
Okay. What's the go with his part in this entire scandal?
So the currently Australian-based victim, Virginia Guilfoyle, has made the allegation that she had intercourse with Prince Andrew when she was underage in London, and I believe a second time. And there are two other people that have claimed that they too had a relationship or a sexual involvement on occasion with Prince Andrew. Now, I think we will never see Prince Andrew ever make a public engagement ever again. The reality is that he's a rat of a royal who is so far up that proverbial creek that I mentioned earlier, it's irretrievable for him to ever be a good standing member of the monarchy. She, Ghislaine, does not want to... Sorry, that's your grandmother. Ghislaine does not want to tell all on Prince Andrew. In fact, they remain friends. And it was her that introduced him to Jeffrey Epstein. But he has been wanted for questioning by the US government. He says he has attempted to cooperate with the US government, at the same time hiring one of the more fierce and mean legal teams to fight the potential of extradition. If he were to be extradited, it would create an unprecedented constitutional crisis between two allies. That would be the United States forcing Britain to send him to America to answer questions. That's never going to happen. There is no way in hell Boris Johnson would cede that right to Donald Trump, and there's probably no chance that the great man in the great Oval Office, who's doing such a wonderful job in Donald Trump, would ever ask that of an ally. Please detect my sarcasm.
Yes.
Yeah.
If there is one big winner in this Jeffrey Epstein scandal, it is Prince Andrew. Through the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell, the government now has its prize piece. And I don't think the government's likely to go after any of the other people that could be implicated in this. And they've all also kind of said so. They've said that there will be no superseding indictment on Maxwell. That means no more charges. And they don't plan on prosecuting anyone else associated with the sex trafficking ring. So that's a huge win for Prince Andrew. They were able to build their Maxwell case, who was their prime target, without his evidence. So he should be breathing.
So he couldn't implicate Trump or anything like that?
No, look, I don't think, I'll be completely honest, I don't think Donald Trump has done anything wrong in his association with Jeffrey Epstein, save for minimizing and lying about it. According to him, he really only knew him at Trump's Mar-a-Lago club in Palm Beach and banned him once he realized what was going on. Well, one, that begs the question, why didn't you tell the authorities what was going on? But I have been able to trace back the relationship between Donald Trump, Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine's father, Ghislaine and Jeffrey Epstein, to the late 1980s. And, in fact, Donald Trump purchased a yacht from a friend of Jeffrey Epstein, an arms dealer, Adnan Khashoggi, from Saudi Arabia, who is now dead, and renamed it Lady Ivanka. Guess what the name of the boat was that Creepy. Robert Maxwell died on? Lady Ghislaine.
These people need some new friends. Really, arms dealers and everything. I mean, this is
Dylan,
serious stuff.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, you've been a key player in these sordid scandals. Do you ever worry for your own safety? Because you're digging up really incriminating stuff. I mean, you know, never before seen court files, interviews. People should be scared of you. Have you ever felt at risk?
I've never really felt at risk. I have had company mandated bodyguards at times after specific threats. Do I fear any consequence? Not really. I mean, look, the reality of the situation is, I'll just say this. If I end up dead, it's because I've got the story right.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Dylan.
Can't you come back to Geelong?
I mean, it's safer there. I mean, they're in lockdown, you know.
Yeah, who would want to go to Victoria?
Yeah, true.
Hey, quick question to round us out here, and this is the group of people that we haven't actually spoken about during our interview, and that is the victims of Epstein and Maxwell.
Yeah.
Now, where are they at with all of this? Because it's thanks to their bravery and ability to say, yes, this happened to me, and provide evidence to incarcerate these two, villains. Pedophiles, villains. Where are they at now, and what's going to happen to them?
So that's a really critical point, and I really appreciate you bringing it up, because as sensational as the story is about espionage, it diminishes the hundreds of young women whose lives were taken away from them and they were used and abused for the financial gain of others. And I actually know personally one of Epstein's and Maxwell's victims. And the day that Maxwell was denied bail, she rang me and she was in tears. Tears of joy that Ghislaine Maxwell is likely never to see the light of day again. Now, this is a woman who has feared for her safety for the last 3 to 4 years, who has had to change locations repeatedly, has had threats in the middle of the night, telephoned to her, cars following her. Threats and intimidation were the types of tactics that Maxwell and Epstein used. So I have an insight into what this whole thing can do to the lives of a victim. And that can't be lost in the sensational nature of this case.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy stuff.
Is that our Aussie girl?
It's someone completely different. It's somebody that I met when living in Los Angeles 8-9 years ago, and I had no idea she was a victim until late last year when she told me. And I was clearly taken aback by it, as one would be. And I can only applaud her, because when I knew her, she was, you know, she was hiding this horrible torment, yet still she was an effervescent individual who cared about everyone else.
And how long was she victimized in that way? How did she find herself with these two? How was she recruited? Can you share that?
I probably can't, because she's not been publicly identified. Mm-hmm. And she is, in fact, in the current indictment against Ghislaine Maxwell, named as a Jane Doe.
Okay.
So I'm loathe to give up too many details for fear that it might identify her.
Mm. It begs belief, doesn't it, how a young woman, I know their methods of recruitment were things like model calls and, you know, Victoria's Secret casting, which for young women who may be, you know, trying to break into the modelling game, that and with naivety on their, well, working against them, really, that's a really big lure, especially for someone as famous as, you know, Jeffrey Epstein. You go, this is legit. But it begs belief how you would then find yourself in one of the sordid scandal of the era.
It's so evil, because girls who, well, not all of them, I'm assuming, but, you know, some of the cases on the documentary that we all saw were girls who didn't have great support systems around them. I think it was the woman who finally spoke to her parents, and it was her parents who said, who exactly. reported him, right? And they're relying on a culture of silence and
That's
shame.
Right.
They preyed upon people in lower socioeconomic groups that would be seduced by the prospect of earning cold hard cash. Mm-hmm. And Epstein also exploited his one and only client. That was Leslie Wexner, who owns Victoria's Secret. And he would suggest to the women that they were having a casting
That's
call
right.
to be a Victoria's Secret model, when really it was for his own sexual peccadilloes.
Lees was actually a model in New York and had dealings with Victoria's Secret. Mm. And even though you didn't wear the wings yourself, Lees.
No, I didn't. I didn't. But you know, I can see. I know those stories were around, not myself at all personally. But, yeah, I really put myself in those girls' shoes, because when I was modelling in New York, I was in my early to mid-20s, which is significantly older than some of these girls. I probably had a good 5 to 7 years on some of these girls. So when you're 15, 16, you don't have the wiles about you, let alone if you come from a lower socioeconomic area, you don't have that support. How you would be so vulnerable to someone with so much power. You know, it's not a crackhead on the street saying, I work for Victoria's Secret. It's Jeffrey Epstein. Like, you know, it really is incredibly incredibly sad for those women whose lives are irrevocably changed. You can't get
and just
those.
How brave of them! How brave of them to speak up. You know, the Jane Doe that you're speaking of, Dylan, and many others, obviously, who don't want their identities to be revealed on a public level, and the ones who have. I mean, God, that takes some courage to come up against that kind of power and names.
Yeah, look, absolutely, and let's give credit where credit's due. There are a couple of lawyers in Florida that pursued this case relentlessly for a decade and were able to aggregate these women and get them to file civil cases, which ultimately led to the expose. And that expose was in the Miami Herald newspaper. So good journalism can be done. Unfortunately, it's all too ill-frequent.
Well, these books are absolute bombshell revelations, back to back.
Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales, not to be confused with the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
I tell you what's better.
What?
The movie.
Are you doing a movie?
No, the movie.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, well, I'm just asking. Yeah. Like, this could be an incredible. This is, I mean, if you turned this book into something else, I'd also be partial to that.
Well, watch this space. Mm. Let me just say that.
We see through you, Dylan.
We will put all of the information on where you can find Dylan's books in the show notes because there's a lot there. And what's the name of the new one? Jeffrey and Ghislaine Inc.
Epstein and Maxwell.
Close.
Okay. We'll give you the full point.
Dylan, thank you so much for sipping away on your watermelon vodka while you've given us this information. It is fascinating to hear your intel, and can we talk to you again
of
when
course,
the next book comes out?
We'd love that.
Anytime.
Right. Okay. Good night over there.
Good night.